Hello, everybody. Hi, it is Bill Bauman talking to you on Thursday, October the 9th, 2014. Welcome. I am so thrilled that we are here. And what I want to do just right up front before I, you know, make amazing little announcements is I'd just like to invite us, each and every one of us that are here, just to kind of be aware of the rest of us. Be aware that this is, for this hour, this is a special sacred setting. This is a family, if you will, of like-spirited, like everything beings who come together just to have everything that is just surround us and nurture us and feed us and bless us and fill us with light and anything else, any other kind of blessing that's important. So welcome, truly, 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 just welcome from the bottom of my heart. And I am just thrilled to have you here. So are you ready for a couple little announcements? The first is, and you are going to be so excited about this, I hope as excited as I am, that I looked up the, you know, what really happened on October 9th throughout history. I actually looked that up because I knew you would want to know. Well, first thing is, in the year 1604, in our Milky Way, that's right, our big home, the Milky Way, the biggest supernova ever recorded in recent history happened. Yes, it did. It happened, and I know you're excited. But the one other thing I want to share with you is that on this date, October the 9th, in the year 768, Charlemagne, you remember good old Charlemagne, your hero, Charlemagne was crowned King of the Franks. Isn't that exciting? Now, here's something you probably did not know. I don't think it's ever been written anywhere, that Charlemagne on that day, in order to celebrate being crowned King of the Franks, sat down and ate in public the first hot dog ever made. Isn't that just an amazing fact? I knew you would appreciate it as much as I did. I admit it, I had you going there for a while, didn't I? Oh, that was terrible, but you loved it, and I'm so happy you loved it. Anyway, I want to, the next announcement, yes, I'll get off of that one fast. I want to give a special expression of gratitude to Donna, my beautiful spouse, life mate, partner, and everything else, for the amazing photos that are on the web. And actually, you have no idea what kind of process she went through to get those up there, because they technologically were not working until just a minute ago. So I do want to announce something about that, and it's a guess, and this one is not a joke, so I'm not setting you up here that I know of. It occurred to me the other day, you know, usually there's a 10 to 15 second lap or gap between the sound that is that you're hearing on the phone versus the sound that those on the web are hearing. In other words, those on the web, if you're on the phone, that was on the web are hearing it maybe 15 seconds either before or after you are. But it occurred to me, gee, if you really wanted to, you know, have in front of you the pictures that Donna has on there, I think, this is just my guess, I think you could turn that, be on the teleconference on the web and turn the volume to off or zero, and then be on the phone if you wanted to do it that way, and then that way you'd have the best of all worlds. Of course, you'd still have that big red ear at the end of the hour because of your phone being next to it, but that's a small price to pay. Donna, would you say hi to us?
I will say hi. Hello, everyone. And I'm chuckling here because this is my technologically bad week. My Mac broke. Had trouble getting my new phone working, and now couldn't get the slides to work. Now I've gotten them up, and somehow there are a couple yellow dots on the screen that weren't put there before. But we'll try our best tonight, and we love you all, and I will do it early. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. Thank you. It never occurred to me. Oh, cool.
I put some little pumpkins on the slide.
All right. Thank you, Donna. Are we... we ready to join together for a just a sacred hour together? Just as a way of introducing that, I'd love to invite anybody who's here live on the phone to say hi. I'd love to invite anybody who's here live on the web to do the same thing, even though we won't be hearing you in the vibratory sound world. And I'd like to invite anybody who tunes in here later, and apparently there are quite a few who do that because you can't fit it into your schedule live, to also just greet us and welcome us and wrap your arms around us and really feel welcomed, feel invited into our heart in whatever way feels just right to you. And so I am going to click a little button and invite us all to say hello right now. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
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 Aloha.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, that's so cool.
Love you.
Oh, so cool. Oh, I love that love you thing, yeah. Thank you. That is so grand. Just so beautiful. There's such a power and a beauty and a love in oneness. And when we come together like this, it's to me, it's one of the greatest experiences of the human scene. And speaking of human scene, you'll never guess what the focus of our time together is going to be this evening. It's really kind of very interesting and cute. It's called Mastering Human Pain. And of course, you know what I do is I sit and I just sort of let our souls kind of move me to whatever is the focus for whatever the words are. And, of course, my reaction was, what? Human pain? Oh, come on. Nobody here wants to hear about pain. We're all looking to get away from pain. And anyway, the response that came back said something like, yes, my dear Watson, that's exactly why we want to hang out with human pain. So here's the deal. Just be with me here, and as they say, work with me here. Be with me here because we're going to be hanging out with words about and with a little bit of an understanding of, but mostly this is an experience. This is an experience where the spirit of human pain is wanting to speak with us. This is not about necessarily inviting us to just be overcome with pain. It's about the spirit of pain. The real deep truth of pain, the wonder and frankly the power of pain, whatever is the mystery and the magic that's within pain, really, really reaching out to us and saying, whenever I'm here, I pain, whenever I'm here, whenever I'm in you, whenever I'm expressing through you, whenever I'm moving myself through your body, through your psyche, through your energy field, through your nervous system, be with me in a special way, and I'm here to show myself to you, to bear my soul to you, if you will, and invite you and me to a partnership, invite you and me to a togetherness, invite you and me to a oneness that lets you in on the secret, that doesn't leave you sort of out there looking at me, pain from in here, in your body, for example, in your psyche, for example, trying to sort me out, figure me out, trying to figure out what in the world am I doing here, because you're separate. You're looking at me from outside the window. But rather, I want to invite you to come in here with me because I've got a secret that I want to share with you. I've got a power. I've got an intention. I've got a rite of passage that I'm about, that I'm creating when I, pain, am in your life. And it's about stuff that maybe, oh, you maybe know about, you maybe think about, you maybe have theories about, but maybe you've never tasted to the depth or in the way or to the degree or in the spirit with which I offer it every minute of every day. So that speech, this is me, Bill, speaking now, that speech that you just heard was pretty much what I heard, if you will, just an hour or so ago as I opened to this topic And as I just, you know, did, and I was only half joking right up front when I said, oh, no, let's not do that. The other half was very, very serious, and that is, and pain said to me, as it just said to you, words, something like that. So here's what I want to invite us to, because I'm obviously feeling compelled to talk with us about this really strange, unexplainable thing or phenomenon that we call pain or suffering. But look, I'd like to make a statement about it right up front, and it may or may not be accurate, but here's the statement. There's really no way for any of us to make sense out of pain. There's no way to explain it or even to explain it away. There's no way to grasp, if you will, conceptually or theoretically, the magnitude, the truth, the dynamics of pain. But we can make sense of it, not necessarily cognitively, not necessarily in a way that we can cognize what it's about, but we can make sense with it by becoming one with it. By, you know, just like what we say, if we're racist, well, let's hang out for 2 weeks in the shoes of that person or that group that we have racist feelings about. And sure enough, at the end of 2 weeks, all those racist feelings, opinions, they just vanish. They go away. Why? Because we're listening, we're feeling, we're experiencing from within the mindset of, from within the soul set of, from within the energy field of, from within the way the magic of life works within that culture, that race, that person. And because of that, all of a sudden that person isn't foreign anymore. That person isn't something we're looking at from way outside and trying to protect our own reference point by pushing that person away in our mind. So instead, we go into that person's shoes. And so this evening, in a way that takes, I believe, a bit of daring, takes, I believe, a bit of kind of, I don't know, self-confidence or a rootedness, a groundedness in self, enough to be able to leave the comfort zone or the seeming comfort zone of that self and go to pain. And start to listen to pain, to feel into pain, to experience, if not pain, to experience what the deepest meaning, phenomenon, mystery, wonder, intention, grandeur of pain happens to be. Because my sense, my deep, deep sense about pain is that, like a number of other things, sort of like ego, it really, really gets a bum rap. Pain is just not only not understood, it's pushed away, it's condemned, how often have you heard yourself say, how often have I in the past heard myself say, or how often do we hear from anybody, I just want the pain to go away. Or from a lot of spiritually oriented people, I hear as I'm spiritually evolving, as I'm getting freer, this pain should not be here, which I think is, or at least could be, a very big misinterpretation of just a miscalculation of what is pain, a misunderstanding. So I want to offer you a perspective, and let me just kind of say it personally just a little bit. A lot of years ago, somehow it came to me that it was time for me to kind of specialize in human pain. In earthy pain, if you will. And so I started a journey. And by the way, I'm guessing it was maybe a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, maybe at most. I believe I sent anybody who was on my mailing list at that time about a 20-page article I wrote entitled, Would You Believe? Mastering Human Pain. So some of you may have that. Also happened with that, by the way, is thanks to my big buddy Jim Gerlach, who just pushes me to put things into recordings. Yes, he is a terrible person, by the way, but that's neither here nor there at the moment. He invited me to do that, so I made a recording, and Jim was kind enough to give it over to Deborah, who uploaded it onto our website. And so on the listen page of my website, you can find the audio recording. It's the 20-page article. Takes about, I think, 57 minutes, just a little under an hour to hear. The only problem with listening to that recording, by the way, I might add just for your information, is to listen to me is painful. And so it you get a yes, thank you, Donna. You get a at least one person laughed. You get a kind of a heads up experience of pain just by the very fact of listening to me. So if you can tolerate that for 57 minutes, you are a better person than I am. So anyway, I just wanted to let you know that for your information, all that's free. So what I did several years ago, I just let myself take a journey. Take a journey into pain, take a journey into my body, take a journey into the earth, air, fire, water nature of my, or elemental nature of myself, into the depths of my psyche, into my cellular, subcellular, subatomic realms, where pain tends to reside, in which and through which it tends to express, and where its magic happens. And I realized right up front, the first thing I need to do is I need to let go of any remnants of judgment I have about pain. Any remaining, what do you call those, dangling participles of suspiciousness I might have about pain, or call it allergy to pain, like anything in me that just says, ooh, I don't want to do pain. So I did that, and that took however long, and it just... So A, in my mind, B, in my energy field, just letting go of anything that would be a resistance to pain. And that was that. And then what that did, and I'm not going to move us through all the cycles I went through here, but what that did is it allowed me to feel neutral in pain. So first I peeled the layers of the onion off of all the ways I learned to be, call it allergic to pain, and I was neutral, and so then I could approach pain without self-defensiveness, without self-protectiveness, and I felt like I was in a position where I could start walking in the moccasins of pain. I could start experiencing pain from within its own mindset, its own heart set, its own body set, its own primal set, if you will. And I learned a lot of things, and this time here this evening is not so much about me teaching what I learned. It's about us opening to an experience, and pain is our guide for this evening. And I know it's a little weird, but let's face it, there is not a person among us who has not been in enormous, enormous, enormous human pain. Whether physical, whether emotional, whether existential, whether psychic, whether psychological, whether mental, whether human, just human pain, whatever it is, every one of us has specialized in pain, just like we specialized in love, we specialized in light, we specialized in all sorts of things. And so we are specialists in pain. So why not? Why not really be not only the specialist, but, and it's a weird word, but be the master of pain? I know mastery is a terribly arrogant-seeming word, but I don't mean it that way, and I don't mean it the usual way we become masterful, which is learning a skill, which is passing a test, developing a talent, because in relation to human pain and suffering, I think we become masterful by letting go into its mystery. And so that's the next thing I did. I got neutral, then I just let go into the mystery. I admitted I have no clue what pain is about. It's sort of like the first step of AA. I admit I'm powerless over alcohol. So I admitted I just was dumb. Just dumb, because as human beings, I don't think we have much accurate or helpful theory that we learn that helps us be with pain in a way where we're at peace. And so I just let myself let go. I let the heart of pain call me into itself. I just, sort of like the Wicked Witch of the West who said, "Help, I'm melting." So I just melted into pain. And some really interesting things happened. Just to mention, I don't know, one or two, because I'm just letting pain move me here. I don't really have any notes written down about this. But one of the things that happened is I noticed pain bit by bit became a friend. Or maybe I should say maybe it was always a friend. And I think truly it is. But all of a sudden, I felt myself being in a relationship with pain, which is a friendship relationship. And I became clear that pain and suffering, instead of being, and we could put a lot of words to it, instead of being a torment, instead of being a punishment, instead of being a misery experience, and it may be that as well, it's an act of love. I know, that's got to a mind, that's got to seem extremely strange and weird and non-intellectual, and it may be that. But in the deeper truth, pain, I believe, is a voice box. It's an expression. It's a set of vocal cords for the deeply, deeply primal self that we are. You know, we live in a lot of languages. So let me just use the term language. We speak a lot of languages. We speak the language of logic in our conscious mind. We speak the language of love in our heart. We speak the language of wisdom in our soul. Go to our subconscious mind. We speak the language of symbolism and story. In our energy, we speak the language of vibration and pulsing and movement and energy and life force. And somehow in our body, in our depths, in our subcellular, cellular levels of being, we speak a very elemental, earthy, fiery, watery language. We speak a very primal, juicy kind of language. We speak a language that our conscious mind, in truth, knows very, very little about, simply because we hardly ever, most of us, we hardly ever invite ourselves to learn that language. And so maybe pain and inviting us to this hour is saying, I want to teach you my language. I because it's your language. It's the language you and I are speaking in your body. Your body knows my language. The depths of your emotion know my language. Your deepest, most fundamental vibratory organic being knows my language. And I'm reaching out to the you that knows at these bigger levels, and I'm saying, come. Come be with me where I'm speaking. Listen to me how I'm speaking, because I'm speaking a very bodily, earthly, earthy language. And it's an amazing language. So just like if I go back to the Big Bang of creation, that out of nothing, out of nowhere, this big boom happens. And the fire, the elemental nature of emptiness just boomed, created itself forth in the Big Bang, and all of a sudden there was light in all sorts of dimensional levels and taking three-dimensional forms of like stars and then asteroids and ultimately planets and then from there all sorts of life. Those had pain. Those were expressing the suffering quality of creation. And every time we experience pain, creation is happening. Every time we have a headache, a sore throat, a flu, a disease, an illness, a sickness, every time we're depressed, every time we're fearful, every time we're angry, so there's a big bang going on, or a little bang, or a violent bang, or a dull bang. There's some immense, enormous, purposeful creation happening. And gee, I wonder for you, in your latest experience with pain or suffering, I wonder what that creation is or was. I just had a several hour time together with somebody recently who was looking for help, and among so many other things, almost as an afterthought, she talked to me about her grown son, her son who was all grown up, and her son had developed these terrible pains, just you know, all sorts of headaches and dizziness and all of that. And of course, she asked me if there's anything I saw that that I could share with her. And of course, I gave her my usual ethical speech, which is that I'm not a medical intuitive. And you have no idea how often I give that speech, by the way. It's just a, you know, it's a simple one-liner. Of course, my rational self would say, oh, good, enough people have heard that enough times, they'll stop asking me medically oriented questions. But it doesn't happen, no. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So I said, well, I of course can't give you anything medical, but here's what I do see. I see that your son has spent his life repressing, denying all sorts of feelings, deep, deep pain feelings. And he stored them deep in his body, and his body has just chosen this time to flip the release valve switch, and let them unleash, let them out of the vault, out of the little prison of the body, if you will, and so that's what's happening. And she had also said that, you know, there really isn't any the medical practitioners, you know, can't really find out what this is. And I said, well, sometimes whatever is going on in us doesn't really invite anybody out there to know what it is or to label it so that it can be healed until it's released enough. And so it just could be in that instance, just to use that as one little example, that there's a great wisdom in this body. And that wisdom knows that for this person to move to the next step of his life, it's just vitally important for those leftovers, those unconnected to feelings, for them to come out where they can be felt. And since they're not, there's no permission for them to be felt emotionally, they're felt physically. And so there's this enormous wisdom, this intelligence, that primally expresses it in the form of pain, in the form of suffering. And so a picture I have, and we with this person, I didn't go there, but bear with me here, and or insert yourself in this picture instead of this person if you would like to make it more personal. The picture I had was, wow, wouldn't it be something if that person could, sort of in the way I described for myself, just kind of let go into that pain, not just, you know, resist it and try to get it to go away, and certainly trying to get pain to go away is a totally understandable, acceptable thing, but, and I'm not advocating, you know, living unnecessarily with pain by any means, but if instead of trying to escape it, if he or you or I would just say, oh, here's a friend. Here's a friend, pain, suffering, well, whatever it may be. Here's a friend that's trying to talk to me in some way. It's communicating. It's using a language. Pain is a language, just like logic is the language of the left brain. And perhaps creativity is the language of the right brain. I'm just coming up with other languages. So, wow, this pain is my body loving me. Or the earth, or the earth in me, or the Gaia in me, or the earthiness of me loving me, or the vast unspeakable intelligence of creation, trying to create something within me that's painful, just like the Big Bang was an extremely painful kind of a thing, just like childbirth is an extremely painful way of introducing a new life into the world. And in the middle of that pain, terrible, awful, excruciating as it may be, there's this grand, unexplainable act of love. There's this way you and I are literally being loved into a new step of our life, into a new level of freedom. into a new focus or phase of our being. And it happens through ritual. Pain, illness, disease, hurt, symptoms, they're all rites of passage. So we have we're invited into, we're not just invited into, we're dragged into, a rite of passage that's got enormous love behind it, enormous intelligence behind it, and of course a self-propelled power behind it. So love, intelligence, truth, and power, all here moving itself through our body, expressing in our body, and using our body as its vocal cords, or using our psyche as its vocal cords to talk to us. Not in regular cognitive language, maybe not even in the language of the heart or the soul, but in a very, very, very primal language. And in a way, and please hear this the right way, or whatever the right way is, the way I mean it, we're all animals, we're everything else, but we're all primal beings. We talk about having a reptilian brain in that brainstem of ours and a mammalian brain. Well, neuroscience studies have discovered that on a ratio of almost 10,000 to 1, those primal mammalian reptilian forces in our brain are powerfully, powerfully influencing in the cerebral cortex of the cognitive, rational thoughts in us. So we're hugely, hugely influenced by, motivated by, brought to life by our primal instincts, our deeply primal feelings. And so what the point I'm making is all of that lives equally in the body, not just in the brainstem. And it's us. So yes, we're beautiful beings of light. We're amazing incarnations of the divine. We're absolutely highly energized, strong, focused human beings. We're here to create, success and achievement and accomplishment, to create intimate relationships, to create love. We're here to bond and to be and to excel in all sorts of ways. And one of the ways, I feel like our primal pain really wants to say this in a way where we hear it, we're here on Earth. We came to this Earth. We moved ourselves into this three-dimensional field so that in addition to all these other wondrous ways that we are, we can ground that into an earthy substance, into an earthy self, into this body, into the collective consciousness that we are in, and into the very deep unconscious realms of our primal self, into our organic being. So if we picture ourselves as specializing not just in divinity, not just in light, not just in enlightenment, not just in freedom, not just in intelligence, not just in heart and love, but in this beautiful animal that we are. And in that, give ourselves permission to learn the language that's so natural to us. It happens all the time. Every time we're in pain, emotional, mental, spiritual, physical, something magical is happening. And it's expressing in a language that we've either vilified or ceased to respect or run from. And it's the beautiful, beautiful language of pain, of suffering. And please know, I'm really not trying to make a sales pitch for pain. I'm just trying to be, in this moment, the voice of pain that is reaching out to each of us. Because in a dualistic world, you know, some significant percentage of our time is going to be wrapped up in being with this strange thing called pain. And to be a master of that pain, I think, means a little something different for each of us. So please take these words and and personalize them to yourself in a way that's just right for you. But to be masterful about in relation to pain, I think, means being at peace with it, being at least neutral about it, then opening to its friendship, because it does reach out to us to be a friend. And as a friend, it's got gifts to share with us. As a friend, it loves us, and it's here, no matter what the even sometimes excruciating pain level of it all. It's here to create something. To create something. And if it's the kind of pain that has an ending, and some pain does and some pain doesn't, but if it's the kind of pain that has an ending, it's here to create maybe some version of a death of an old facet of self and then a birth of a new facet of self. If it's a kind of pain that seems determined to stay with us for the rest of our life, or for however long, or for many years, because some pain does go on for a number of years and then it stops. If it's that, it may not be about the kind of creation that's there. It may be about inviting us to surrender, inviting us to let go, maybe let go of expectations. To let go into just what is. Or if you're really on a freedom path, a mastery path, it may be, maybe all that pain that stays is there to invite you, invite me. It's certainly there to invite me to totally unify with the mystery, with the intelligence, with the love, and with the magic that is in pain. It's maybe in inviting me or you to mastery, it's here saying, as you are with me, and as you partner with me in this, just let go and know that I know what I'm doing. And I, Bill, do want to say that I think the vast majority of the time we don't know that at a conscious level. We almost, maybe not all of us, but I think we almost all need to sort of suspend. We talk about suspending judgment. We need to suspend our conscious understanding and just let ourselves, just like we do when we meditate, we surrender the mind in a sense. And we let go into the mystery of the light. We kind of move our consciousness through the veil into a whole other realm. And we do that, I think, maybe not easily, but with great dedication, because we trust the light. We believe in the value of the light. And so we give ourselves lots of permission. And I think the only reason we don't do that same kind of a thing with pain, with suffering, with symptoms, etc., is because we have learned to not trust it. We've learned to kind of sense it as something not user-friendly. And in truth, nothing could be farther from the truth. So there's magic. There's magic in the pain. I could be way off track in what I'm about to say, but in a very, very informal, totally not formal, absolutely not scientific way, I spent a little time looking at animals, you know, birds and reptiles and the reptilian mammalian quality of life. Out there, if you will, not just the pets, but the ones that are kind of roaming the wild a bit. And one of the things I've done, again, totally informally, and I may be speaking a very narrow truth here, but I notice how they relate to pain. Yes, they're on guard because they're alerted to and in charge of their safety. then they seem to go back and forth between being on guard and really enjoying whatever it is they're doing, whether that's eating or playing together or just, you know, wandering through nature. And then if something happens, you know, if they, you know, a bird flies into a window and is disabled, if an animal gets caught in the mouth of another animal that's found it to be prey and is being chewed up or eaten, and I apologize for the graphics, I notice what they do. They tend to fight for just an instant or a few instances, and then they kind of let go. They let go, and I mean, who am I to say, but just in the way that I feel like they've allowed me to just experience them from within themselves at that point, there's a peacefulness, or what we humans would call peacefulness, about that pain. And it's a model, I think, for us. So while they absolutely strongly are dedicated to staying alive, when it gets to that point where, ooh, like if you look at most birds, they hit that window and they fall. And then they lay there. They just lay there. I think just being with the pain, being with whatever happened. And how often have you seen it that after they're there a little bit and they just witness the pain moving through and their body just reorganizing, they, if it's possible, they get up and fly away. Sometimes they crawl elsewhere where they can just kind of die, whatever it is. But there's a peacefulness. They don't seem to be at odds with pain and suffering. They seem to know something about it. And what I've noticed, if I take that example and move it into our own bodies, just in whatever ways I've been allowed to unify with, be one with the physicality, the physiological nature of the organic beingness of each person that I'm with, I notice the same things. Our bodies are in pain, but they don't judge it. They don't fight it. If you will, they seem to know the language, and in knowing the language, they seem to be partnering with it. So for me, at some point, I said to myself, you know, Bill, how about if whenever pain's here, again, not just physical pain, emotional pain, your pain, somebody else's pain, because let's face it, I hang out a lot of days with a lot of people who are in pain. So I said, how about if I just make pain my friend? How about if I stretch my human boundaries and just melt into the pain? Just trust that this pain is being created by, moved by, and masterfully expressing of an enormous intelligence. That's, while primally expressed, as big an intelligence as any other intelligence that there is. And so I've tried to do that, and I think I've done a fairly good job of that, which has allowed me to be at peace with pain, but it's also allowed me to be invited by pain to be its partner. So if healing is one of the outcomes of pain, then pain invites me to join with it in the way it intends to heal, and then even sometimes to help that healing along, if you will. And other times, pain just invites me to lend my love to its love, my love of the person, to its love of the person. And so maybe because the person feels my love in the middle of his or her suffering, they can begin to feel the love of whatever is that primal source of the pain. And then maybe one other thing, the pain invites me. The pain invites me to know it. To know it maybe not cognitively in ways that I can be a great spokesperson for it, whether to myself or you or anybody, but to know it in its primal juiciness. And so ideally, with all of that, I'm able to maybe be with this body that's mine, like you could be with this body that's yours. Be with this psyche, this emotion, this energy, this self, at all these deep, deep, deep levels. And just be at peace. Be in great, great, great respect. Be in partnership with how this body, this psyche, this self is being created in ways that our conscious mind has little, if anything, to say about it. In fact, I think often our conscious mind has nothing to say about it. So in conclusion, I actually did, before I did this, I opened up this 20-page article, and I just came to whatever page, and there was a sentence that jumped out at me, so I wrote it down, and I'm going to conclude by this sentence. Pain is nothing more than our primal nature, speaking intelligently, loving, and creatively within us, in energetic expressions that we can intimately feel. So as I stop talking, I want to say to us, in a way that surprised me up front, I really felt myself called by, I believe, not just the spirit of pain, but by all of our souls, to just be the voice of pain and suffering, to kind of put its spirit out with whatever the invitation is. And I believe the content of what I just expressed and pain just expressed to us was just general enough so that each of us could feel what is the personal invitation to each of us about being in an intimate, bonded, loving relationship with what may be, in truth, our very best friend, which we call pain and suffering. It's with great, great respect for you, with great honor of who you are, that I present to you, have presented to you, and have the privilege of having just presented to you an invitation that very few people get. It's an invitation to be with the mysterious magic and wonder of life at this level that we name pain and suffering, that has gifts that are just waiting for us if we but open to them. Thank you so very, very, very much. Wow, I just opened my eyes, and here you are. Whew, thank you so much. What I'd love to do is I'd love to open this in just a half a minute to anybody, any of us who would like to express anything about this. Again, I want to ask that nobody ask me any question about it because, again, this is our time for being gifted and blessed and loved, and tonight loved especially by that funny thing we call pain. And the reason I don't want question is I don't want to call it up to the conscious mind so much. So if you're on the phone and you want to say anything, let's see, what does it say to do? If you would just press *2, and that tells me that you want to do that. And if you happen to be on the web and you have something you want to say, then all you need do is put that message in that little box and push send, and it will come right to me. And while those of you on the phone are thinking about whether to do that, I've got a few a few messages that have come from the web. Oh, one from my precious, beautiful friend, Agnes from Warsaw, Poland, who says, "Hi, Hello. It is so wonderful to be with you again. My goodness, it must be the middle of the night there. Oh, bless you. And one from Winnipeg, Canada. Thanksgiving weekend up here in Canada. That's right. So much to be thankful for in this land of peace. Another one saying, Bill, you're breaking up. Oh, hark. I hope I've not been breaking up too much to everybody on the phone. Then another one that says, you're not breaking up on the web, just the phone. And then also says, love Donna's pictures. Oh, that is like so cool. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back here, and oh my gosh, we've got four hands, and we'll see if we have time for all of them. The first one is Gail, and Gail from California. Hi.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, and you've not been breaking up on the phone.
Oh, okay. Well, all right then. Thank you. I need
all the help
I can get. So go ahead.
Yeah. It's such a masterful discussion. Yesterday I ran up to my beloved, put my arm around him to give him a big kiss, and somehow there was a bee on his shoulder, and I got a bee sting. So,
it's
been kind of painful and big and swollen, and I've been, you know, kind of working with it. But as you were speaking, I just decided to really move into it, become one with that. And as I did that, I saw like all of creation inside of there, the huge civilizations, buildings, just everything, absolutely everything was contained inside of it. And then as I kept merging with it, what I realized was it was the pulsation of life itself that was calling me to be awake to it and grateful for it and aligned with it in just a huge, unbounded way, this pulsation of life itself.
Wow. Wow, Gail. I get it. Wow. And thank you for letting go into that enough so that it could speak to you in that big a way. That is just exquisite.
Thank you so much. It was fantastic. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. Totally, totally my pleasure. Yay. Okay, and then we want to go to somebody on area code 760. And let me unmute you. I'm getting good at this. Hi there. Are you there?
Yeah. Hi, Bill. This is Terry.
Oh, hi, Terry.
Hi. How are you?
Oh, I'm so good. I can't stand myself. Thank you.
Oh, my
gosh. So good to
you.
Yeah. No, nobody else can either, so it's all unanimous. But, yeah, talk to us.
Okay. Well, initially when you were talking about the pain, and you've talked about this before, but what was interesting, I got a much bigger perspective this time. One of my sons is having some health challenges right now, and it's basically a mystery to the doctors. He's an adult son, and my husband's been helping him a lot. But all of a sudden, I was realizing, because I've been feeling badly about my son, and then I realized that there is such a bigger picture to this that I was just realizing, and I can't say it in my mind, but in my experience of it, just the bigger picture of the health challenges my son has been having this lifetime.
Yes.
And then I began, after I felt sort of in alignment with that, I started thinking about my own physical pain that I've had on and off most of my life. It comes and it goes. I got this galaxy point of view with it, experience with it, that this has been an ongoing teaching for me, a learning inquiry in my life over just repeatedly. So I want to thank you for tonight's talk and thank Spirit for guiding you with that. Thank you.
Oh, beautiful, Terry. Thank you. What a pleasure. That's just so wonderful. I'm just going to shift just for a minute to the web, and Amelia from North Carolina says how beautifully perfect that you chose this topic tonight. Thank you. And then we're back to Poland, Warsaw. Yay! What a peace, trusting, despite our conscious mind, that life/love is always present and creating us anew. I love that. Thank you so much. Beautiful, beautiful. And then one more. Oh, yes. Thank you for this profound presentation on pain. So much to work with. And then there's this sentence to somebody named Donna. Donna, your paintings are inspirational. That is so wonderful. Okay, and now I'm going to go back. Hold on to here. And I think this is Bob, area code 302. And I have just unmuted you. Are you there?
This is Jane.
Oh, this is Jane. Okay. Hello, Jane.
Hello. I want to thank you for tonight. I was just prompted to join you tonight. Today, I was asked by in Wilmington, Delaware, the Swank Memory Care facility that is part of our hospital system is going to have a caregivers group for people with dementia and Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked me to come and assist the social workers in the first, this is the first ever that this new facility has offered. And I said, I thought that from my experience that we needed to look more at what is the gift in this.
mm-hmm.
And they just jumped on that and thought it was just the right way to approach this whole painful situation that many caregivers are deeply involved in.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I just feel that it is it's very pertinent to my whole life that this is that, and then what I learned from you tonight further validates that it is
mm-hmm.
truly in the pain. There is a huge gift for both people.
You said that so beautifully. Thank you. And you just, your words carried the deep spirit of it, Jane. That was just profound. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Let me see. There we go. And we have one more person, and that would be Laurie, area code 202. And hold on, you're unmuted.
Okay. Hi, Bill. It's
Hi, Laurie.
So I've been going through the most deepest emotional pain that I have over the loss of a friend who took her life.
Yes.
And I had seen her, and she seemed fine. She seemed upbeat. She was at a job fair. And I just learned that through a series of events that she just spiraled downwards, and she had an underlying condition of an autoimmune disease of her nervous system, but some news of her boyfriend breaking up with her, she tried to take overdose on drugs, she was brought back to her aunt and uncle,
mm-hmm.
and she lost mobility in her lower legs, and she, took her own life. And right now, this community who loves her are all experiencing deep shock, deep loss, deep grief.
Mm-hmm.
So so part of me is saying that there's so much love for her that this didn't need to happen.
Mm-hmm.
What if, or, you know, that she had said, I don't want to engage with my friends until I feel better. And then she never reached out.
Mm, yes. Yes. Wow. Wow. And I thank you, Lori. I'm just really touched by everything you've said. And I feel like just like everybody in the community is coming together with an enormous amount of love. What I was feeling as you were sharing that with us is not consciously or verbally, but inviting us just to, again, be with her. Kind of back to what I was saying, just whatever has been going on behind the scenes, and whatever it's all about that we really don't and can't understand and come to conscious mind peace with necessarily, but to for the people in the community, for you, and for anybody else close to your friend, just to be with that in the deepest embrace of just whatever the I'll use Jane's words, whatever the gift of it is. So thank you so much for that. I really appreciate your putting that out to us. Okay. Now, I tell you what, I'm going to read one more thing, and then we are, would you believe, we're going to say goodbye. So this is from my big buddy Adrian in Hawaii. I've fallen in love so many times, several times, really intensely and mutually, where they married other people. Then I had intense pain for about 2 years, which I never resist. I just feel it, and my heart fills with the huge space between us, and then the pain falls away, and the object falls away, and my heart stays big. Adrian, I am just so appreciative of this. And then she goes on, and I am so grateful to these beautiful men whom I still consider friends. And then in parentheses, hi, if you're still listening in. My heart is spreading out everywhere because of them and because of not resisting all the pain. Wow. Wow. That not only says it all, it says it in a way that takes what's so hard for all of us, including you, and just shares the real amazing, not just gift, the amazing miracle that can happen through it. And then just last from Pat from Colorado, Bill, thank you so much. I've lived with pain for so long, and this is such a different approach to deal with pain. Always, it was about getting rid of pain, but to see it as a gift, amazing. Thank you so deeply. Oh, my gosh, would you believe we are at the end of our time? Whew, next month, as those of you on the web can see, we're going to get together on the second Thursday, November 13th. And fortunately, it's not Friday, November 13th, because, never mind. And in just a second, I want to invite us to say goodbye, but really to just sort of give some verbal expression that expresses how much we're going to hold each other in our own hearts for the next month, and how much we're going to be fed by each other and feed each other with enormous love, enormous light, and just the hugest blessing in every way possible. So that's right. I need to do this. I need to go and unmute us, which I think I'm doing right now. So goodbye, everybody. You're all unmuted.
Bye.
Hello.
Bye.
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 Bye. Thank you. Bye. Oh, and that is it. I love you. We will see you next month.